Pat wrote to me the other week, and I was one verse ahead on the psalm. And he said, it's a great message, but I question the verse. You know, I wrote back and I said, read the next one. But, yes. How she praised God. How she praised God. That just spoke to me last week. The woman bent over for 18 years. 18 years. Fred walks in, he's watching his feet, then he sits down, now he's up. But this lady couldn't look up. You know? So can you imagine being bent over like this? It's hard to, I can see you now. I can look out there and I can see you. But how'd you like to live your life having to see that? Your neck gets sore, so you look the other way, there's a wall. You know? She was bent over for 18 years. 18 years. 18 years. Anybody like to have anything hurt for 18 years?
No.
No. Have you been hurting for more than 18 years, Fred?
Not yet.
Not yet. Hallelujah. I pray you don't hurt anymore, but I pray you get past 18 years, you know. But you praise the Lord and you shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And, you know, I mean, that's what we got. What else can we do? It's like Jesus asked Peter, you guys going to leave too? He said, man, what are we going to do? You've got the words of life.
That's right.
You know, didn't understand a lot of them, but there was life that came. You know, sometimes the word gives you life. You don't even understand what it's saying. But something happens when the word comes at you. Something happens. Something happened. And when something happens, the best thing we can do is go with it. You know? Go with the Lord. You know, just go with it. Fight those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Fight the devil who whispers, you know. Look out, look out, look out, you know. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and he says, warning. Warning. Remember last week we said, always give up your way. Always give up your way. If your way isn't his way, have it hit the highway. Always give up your way. Always give up your preference. Wait upon the Lord. He'll renew your strength. He said, just always, always give up your way. Because change is coming. Change is coming. Change is coming. Change is coming. You know? And it's not a time to slow down, it's a time to rev it up. You know? Yesterday, I started my generator for the first time in a long time. It had been so long since I started that, once again, I wasn't sure how to start it. And so I tried it the wrong way. I thought it made sense to open the choke to get it started. And it didn't even seem like it had any spark. I pulled off the spark plug And you know, on a spark plug, didn't pull out the plug. No, I didn't go that far. I pulled the wire off, and then I reached in there, and that little cap that's screwed on to the spark plug, you know, it was loose, so I tightened it. I don't know if that makes any difference or not. But ultimately, I went to the instruction manual. And miracle, this is a miracle, it was right there, okay? You have no idea how good that is. And actually, it wasn't right there. It fell out on the floor for me. So I didn't even have to dig for it. It was just laying there. Oh, this is good. And when I read it, I remembered. The thing says, close the choke. What sense does that make? I have to... anyway, When in the old days, when a car wouldn't start at the stop sign, you got out, stuck a screwdriver in the choke. I thought that opened the choke.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, in theory. Yeah, trying to turn me into a mechanic would be more of a miracle than you know. But it worked then. But anyway, so I looked, and it told me that a very important step. Well, fortunately, it had been a long time since I went back to try to start it now, because obviously with the choke open, it might have been a little flooded. So I went and did some other things. And if you heard about somebody having a stalled skid loader in the middle of the highway, that was your pastor. It died. You can't push it. You can't pull it. It died. But it died earlier, and I put gas in, but I must not have put enough gas in, so I went out to put gas in. It died twice in the highway on the way out. After I got it started, I stayed on the shoulder. But here's the deal. I ran up the halls. I was looking for even a pop bottle to put some gas in, and the fire trucks were there. I said, "You guys got a gas can?" "Yeah." "Could I borrow it for a minute?" So I got it, and I ran up the road, got gas in it. Praise the Lord, it started, came back, filled their gas can, filled the thing. So there was a lot of time between me and that generator. But I closed the choke. Which on this, I think that closing it opens it. Now, let me tell you why. Because I closed it, and I pulled, and I got a little. So I pulled again, and it started. But, man, it just didn't seem to really be running that smooth. So I decided I'm going to open that choke. And when I opened that choke, running like a top. So maybe closed is
start.
Well, here's the deal. With my skid loader, I pulled the choke all the way open. I put the accelerator, the gas, the throttle all the way open, pushed that button, and then quickly, once it starts, I have to hit the choke, and then I have to hit the throttle because, man, it's ready to fly. So aren't you really happy to hear about my things? But anyway, if you do it the right way, it works.
Well, bottom line, if it works, it's good.
That's right. And it did. And to top it all off, the instruction manual is the way to go. I'm going to get a permanent ink. You guys must have been in the tropics, huh? I'm just noticing you're putting on your coats like it's still cold, you know? It's been a little warmer where you were. Hallelujah. And they haven't been in hell. They were on a boat. We know that. So anyway.
No, we weren't in hell.
Yeah. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Amen. How she praised God. He touched her and instantly she could stand straight.
Praise the Lord.
You know, when you think about it, how amazing is that? You know, how amazing, how great it is. You know, we love and we marvel, as Vicky says, "Look at me, we just walked around the track and there I am." You know? She could walk all the way around the track and stand and she's doing stuff and sometimes more than she should do. But that's her business, but she's able to do it. And continue to move, you know, and she hasn't been short breathed, and I don't know what, having pains, you know. It's like she ain't supposed to tell me. No, I'm just kidding. She should. She is supposed to tell me, because we know that the Lord intervened, and praise the Lord, and the Lord, any intervention, any touch from God is awesome.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't have to be. A a new leg. It doesn't have to be a new shoulder, or new head, it has to, a hello from God is like a boom, you know? It's a boom, and the best thing we can do is learn how to know when it's a hello from God, so we palms up, you know? Praise the Lord, you know? Because the Lord said, because the Lord provided, because the Lord made a way, you know. Not too many things have gone down in price, Bob, over the years. But God had a way, you know. That's wonderful. You see, but other people say, well, that happens to everybody. Well, maybe it does, but not everybody praises the Lord for it, you know. God reaches out to touch people. God reaches out to draw people all the time. And when we respond, how amazing it is. And he's more excited than we are because he knows what happened. We aren't sure. We don't always know what happened in the presence of the Lord. We don't know. Again, this week the Lord took me back to Oregon. How at that moment in time, I guess when it would seem it was the most impossible, the only other way would have been if I was dead on the road and he raised me up, you know? But I mean, that he just intervened, you know? And part of the miracle also is that I responded to the intervention. That was him too. That had to be him. You know? God does amazing things. Okay? And so when I look at this lady and I think of somebody being bent over for 18 years, and we know about Lazarus being raised from the dead, and we know about everybody getting healed in places, and we know about shadows passing by and people. We know about those things. We know those are real because we believe the manual. So we know that those things are real. So I got to thinking, since this is Palm Sunday, I started thinking, you know, and that's always interesting when I start thinking, but thinking about the fact that you see, we know these things beforehand. Right? We know that they are true. And so what happens if we start waving our palm branches just in excitement for what's coming? You know? Because sometimes you see people, we watch the thing in Ohio, you know, and they're praying for people, and you know, not there. There's some people are pretty excited about, but other people are, you know, that you don't really know anything happened. They say, so does your neck feel better? Yeah. You know? What, you know, it's like, is there anything you can do now that you couldn't do before? Couldn't do that. You know, it's like, you know, and I understand the presence of God, sometimes it's kind of a stupor sort of a situation, you know. Be not drunk with the wine, but be full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, sometimes I realize, but then there's other people that are just like, you know, they're excited. I think that sometimes people are hesitant to get excited. You know, wait and see. I was telling them at the jail that I didn't know God healed people until God healed my foot. And it never hurt as bad before when I hurt it as it did when it was healed. But the healing took that long. But it was a painful bang, and then it was okay. You know? So I planned my testimony. That was my next day. I ran. Didn't hurt. Next day I stomped it. Didn't hurt. Because I wasn't going to go back and lie. I was going to go back and tell them the truth that I got healed. And so I told them the truth. And it wasn't all that long before it hurt. And I told the devil the truth. I told the devil, I'm healed. Take that. I am healed. And he does things. I never had my elbow prayed for. But my elbow got owied in football too. And it was never quite the same for 10 or 12 years. It kind of would hurt when I would do certain things, you know. It caused me to pause, not quit, but pause. And so I'm over at the swimming pool one day, and I go get out of the water, and it doesn't hurt. Apparently, my elbow talked to my foot and said it'd take some of that too. You know, we don't know how God does what he does, but we know that he does, so we can praise him. We can praise him before, we can praise him during, we can praise him after, we can pray for people and praise him. Amen. Something's coming. You know? Something's coming. And it's already marvelous because we know it's coming. We just don't know which one's coming. And we don't wanna have tunnel vision on one thing because we want to be able to see all things. Right? You know? When I did a funeral last week, and it appears that I'm if you can imagine this, getting older and bolder. You know, I used to be a little bit concerned about some things that I said, but I knew that the Lord was saying them, you know. But now he says things, and I think, well, that's perfect. And then followed up with, that might have just made some of you mad. That's okay. You know? But everybody needs Jesus. Right. Everybody doesn't. Everybody is searching for Jesus.
That's right. You
know? All of the people, when Jesus came in, he came in on the colt of a donkey. Okay? Donkeys aren't always that rideable to begin with. And a colt. And he comes in. And those people were looking for him. They were looking for him. And the thing was, is they were looking for him to do something that they had planned and not what he is. You know? They wanted him to give them a life. He came to die to give them a real life, but they wanted a different thing, you know? Die if you want to, but just smash these Romans and let's make us free. But they couldn't be free. They were in bondage. They needed to be set free. And Jesus set them free. And so then, obviously, I had to think about the lady who couldn't bend, stand up for 18 years. That I think she was probably there, and I don't think she hollered, "Crucify him."
No.
You know? I think she was going, "Look at me! Look at me! Look at me! Look at me! You can't be the same lady. I am the same lady." You know? I just, I knew it. You know. It's really interesting, you know. If somebody knows Jesus and loves Jesus, they're right with you, you know. But somebody that doesn't know him or thinks they know him, but they don't really love him, they're trying to smooth the edges for you, you know. Well, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Whatever you say. I mean, Bob can tell me that God got his lights fixed, and I'm going to shout with him. Everybody else he tells, at least to get that God got his lights fixed, they're thinking, well, you know, Colton thinks he did it. You know? But he might wonder, for sure, because there's a spirit that goes along with that, you know. But other people, it's like, yeah, well, yeah, you and your Jesus. You know, they just... They don't want to be caught up in it. Strange the things we'll get caught up in, but they don't want to. We don't want to get caught up in that. Jesus talking to the woman at the well, talking to her about the water that you'll never thirst if you drink this again, and you know, and it's going on pretty good, and then. Then you think, well, apparently he doesn't want to talk to her anymore because he says, get your husband. And she didn't know what she was stepping into. You know, she didn't know what he knew, but he knew what he knew. She said, well, I don't have a husband. Truth. You don't have a husband. You've been married 5 times, and you don't even aren't even married to the man that you're living with. Wow! Now she tries to change the subject. Why is it that everybody says we got to worship in Jerusalem? You know? And he said, well, you know, the time's coming when all those who worship him will have to worship him in spirit and truth. That's what God loves. Worship in spirit and in truth. People who appreciate the life that they have in Christ Jesus. That's the praise that he inhabits. And that's what he wants everyone to know. You know? Something happened. And now I know he touched me and he made me whole. What do you mean whole? I don't know. But one piece that wasn't is a lot wholer. I don't think he'll quit there. You know? Why would he want to quit there? Do you ever pray and ask God for something and then say anything I might be leaving out that too? Why not? Why limit him? You know? People were made whole. He walked by and he made them whole. And so, you know, this lady, they're having this conversation, and the guys come back, and they can't figure out what he's doing talking to that woman. And she just takes off running. Takes off running, tells everybody, this must be the Messiah. Well, apparently, a whole bunch of people were looking for the Messiah. 2 miracles took place. They wouldn't listen to anything she said otherwise. You know? They wouldn't admit that they'd even talked to her, that they even listened in to her. They would just be staying away, you know? But there was a spirit that had to, the Holy Spirit had to come over, and that said he wanted to see the Messiah. So they went running out to see him. You know, they ran to him. Oh, Lord, let people run to you. Just let them run to you. Lord, bring them running up next to us, Lord, wondering, just hovering. Let there be people that just hover and you go, can I help you? I don't know. I just for some reason I felt like I was supposed to come over towards you. Must be the Lord. You know? I mean, we need to start preparing our hearts for the supernatural. Yeah. Desiring that supernatural. You know, there a lot of the famous preachers are pumping up that stuff, you know? I mean, they're saying it. And so I can say it too then. I used to say stuff before. We had stuff happen in our church before Charisma said it was okay, and then they often said it wasn't okay. Well, good for them. But we're going to go with God. You know? We're going to go with God. And so those people came because they were looking for the Messiah. Looking for him. Yes. We don't have to look for him. We just need to watch for him. Because we know where he is. You ask me now how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. I serve a risen Savior. Amen. Who walks with me and talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. He is one awesome God. You know? I mean, I just keep wanting to be closer. I just keep wanting to be more like him. I choke open or choke closed. I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to run, but I'm running. You know? I just whichever way, you know, I'll go either way. You know? But just run into you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know. We know the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. And the righteous will run to him and be safe. Are you safe? I'm safe. Are you saved? I'm saved. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Amen. I'm so glad. He gives me joy. Joy. just thinking about the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome. He's often, see, that's a thing that we need to remember to do, is think about the Lord. Because life isn't always awesome, is it?
No.
You know, there's bumps and nooks and crannies, but he makes springs in the desert.
That's right.
He straightens crooked roads, fills in valleys, and knocks down mountains. This is what the Word of God says. You see, we can be excited about every part of it. We were watching is the story of David or whatever that is. You know, I got to tell you something. It isn't everything. Everything isn't biblically correct, but we aren't, you know. Things in our lives aren't always just exactly. And the funny thing is, now God will never oppose his word. But he's free to mess with it if he wants to. To accomplish things, to speak to our hearts. Anyway, you know, we were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for him to rock that giant. I didn't know if we were ever going to see it. That would have been a good place to me to start. But we saw some of the prelims that aren't really unbelievable. You know, they are, but, oh, I don't know. I didn't see it in the Bible. There's a lot that I see that I don't see in the Bible. You know? There's a lot of things. There ain't nothing in the Bible that says that Bob Woods is going to get lights for his shop. You know? Nothing. Nothing. But we can throw in Jesus is the light of the world, and we boom, just like that. Don't tell me God doesn't provide light. How do you think we got electricity? How did somebody get the understanding? You know, there's just so much. But if we take it to the Lord, you know, because I knew he was going to get that giant. There was no doubt in my mind that Goliath was going down. Now, I have to tell you, watching TV with my wife is like amazing because she analyzes, you know. She analyzes. Well, I analyzed something when David smacked Goliath. When he picked up that sword to chop off Goliath's head, that sword was about this high. Now, I don't think David grew that much, but once he did that big chop on his head, next time you see him, that sword's pretty reasonably sized. You know? Now, I don't know how to figure that for sure. You know? Yeah, I tell you what, that's right. It's a presto, change-o, switch-o, piezo type of a thing, you know? And that's exactly, isn't that exactly? Don't get her started yet. Okay, talk to her after church. No, but you know, isn't that what the religious leaders did? After Jesus is crucified, what do they say? You know, we need to guard this place because they don't want the people to come, you know. And Pilate says, well, do it as best you can. But they all fell down, you know. And Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, you can fix that. You just pay them to say that he wasn't, that the disciples came and stole him. Yeah. A bunch of guys with no weapons came and just took over our whole guard bunch and took Jesus and said, you stay away from us. You know? Well, maybe they did. Maybe they did say in Jesus' name and boom, they fell down. But they didn't come and steal him because the Bible tells us they couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. But did that change Jesus? That they couldn't find him? That they couldn't explain him? That they didn't have enough power in their preaching to convince Thomas that he was really there. And when Jesus came into the room, he said, Thomas, put your finger on my hand. Do you think he put his finger in his hand? Here, stick your hand in my side. You know? He said, oh, my Lord and my God. He said, you know, now he's seen him. All he had to do was see him. That's all people have to do is see him. And then they need to respond. We need to respond. We need to react, not contradict. We need to just jump in to the truth of God's word all the time. And oh, how she praised God. You know, they say they'll know we are Christians by our love. Our praise will also be a pretty good representative of it. Right? The Lord, he's calling. He's calling us to just step into the times that he has. And we can trust him. We don't have to worry about anything. Because he said, don't worry about anything. You know? I will just be honest with you that I had to tell me, this is not a worry, let's just take care of it, when my wife was having strange symptoms. You know? But worry wasn't going to do any good, would it? No. Go to war. Jesus is a man of war. You know? Receive from God his promises. Just receive his promises. All of his promises are yes and amen. So we can begin to get excited about what he's doing when we can't see him doing anything. You know? Even though I can't see it, he's working. Even though I don't feel it, he's working. You see, when we become a people who know, who just know, then we have an answer. So don't worry when you don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say if we'll just stop and say, what should I say? Until we know what we should say, maybe we should say nothing. You know? Maybe we should just enter in to the rest of the Lord. I don't have to figure out how Jesus rode a colt. Nor do I need to decide if a colt was big enough for Jesus to sit on, because I don't know how much Jesus weighed. You understand what I'm saying? There isn't any sense in picking the truth apart. Trust the Holy Spirit within you. Because God is for us. No one can be against us. Amen? Amen. So, we all have things that we need that only the Lord can provide. So let's not, we'll see. Let's plan for it. Let's plan for it. That's about the only thing I plan for. You know? I'm not much of a planner otherwise. But I plan to be in that number when the saints go marching in. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I can only imagine what it will be like when I'm walking by his, surrounded by his glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it up? I don't know. Amen? I plan to go in shouting, but silence is on the reader above. I bet it's got pretty high tech since he started it all in the first place, right? Huh? Don't you think? Don't you think? Yeah. Amen. And we'll all find out when we get there, so don't say ain't going there anymore. Now he's talking about Jesus with technology. He's pretty techy to me. You know? One last thing. You know, you remember the Jedis on Luke Skywalker, you know? I used to think, man, they took that from God. You know? You don't want to shoot me. Put your weapon down. I don't want to shoot you. I'll put my weapon up. Trust the force. Trust Jesus, folks. Trust Jesus. Always, always give up your way. Trust Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you, love you, thank you,
Jesus.
Magnify you. I want to live my life to glorify you. And I praise you for all these wonderful folks, these precious Hosannans. And I praise you for anybody that listens to this. And I praise you for anybody that tells somebody to listen to this. I just praise you as your miracles pour out everywhere. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. What time did you guys get home, John and Vicki? Late? Who's looking at the clock, huh?